All right, we are in an interesting place in the office building, but we're not talking about office explicitly today. How are you, Al?
So I'm Ale. I'm the dev lead for the C++ libraries and the project system and the resource editor. Mm-hmm. But today we are here to talk about some part of the libraries, a library that we added in Visual Studio 2010. That is going to be added in Visual Studio 2010 or Dev 10. And I was a little bit... I mean, I've been a fan of this library for a long time, right? And the library is called SafeInt, and is been done by David LeBlanc here that I want to introduce.
Hi.
I won't see much, so then you should go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Dave LeBlanc. I'm a developer in Office Shared, and I created SafeInt.
Nice. And you also did a lot of work with Michael Howard for many years, you know, writing secure code. You're the other guy. You're the other author, man.
As a matter of fact, Michael and I are finishing up our fifth book together right now.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
So, yeah, we want to talk about SafeInt, that is basically a library, a C++ library, to avoid the integer overflows and integer division by zero and so on. So mm-hmm. It's a very handy kind of C++ class that you can throw into your code when... you are a little bit afraid of having integer overflow issue, right? Something like that. I always really liked this library. And we were before in David's office, and he has this SafeInt got a few awards because it's heavily used inside Mac, especially inside Office. So yeah. Do you know how many instances of SafeInt you have in the Office code base, something like that?
I think there's somewhere around 5,000 or 6,000instances of SafeInt across the Office code base. It's also used in a lot of different places in Windows where they do use C++. And then it's used also a lot of different places across Microsoft, and it's available on CodePlex for use externally. And so I'm really happy to have it shipped in Visual Studio, because that way everybody can use one of them and nobody keeps asking me, okay, so which one do I use? And very soon the answer is going to be, use the one from DevDiv, and that's it.
Go to Ale.
But I mean, that's one of the powers of C++, right? You guys are always writing your own types.
And that's actually a very good explanation, because one of the classical questions is, why C++ doesn't have the checked integer type, for example, that when you do the compiler can actually check if there is an overflow and do the right thing. But one of the questions I always have, what is the right thing in the moment, right? Lots of people have different needs, right? I don't know what Office does, for example, when there is an integer overflow.
Well, there's a lot of different approaches that people take. Sometimes people take the approach of treating an integer overflow like the same as they would a null pointer dereference. You crash and you send a dump to Watson and then we'll fix it. Because maybe we don't know how to recover and the safest thing is just to take down the app. In other cases, we're suspicious that this could go wrong, and we've got test cases where this could go wrong, and so we put a try-catch or a try-except around it and handle the error right there. And so it's got the flexibility to do that, which is pretty nice.
Yeah. And that's something that you don't have with a construct that is inside the compiler, because the construct inside the compiler likely is going to do just one thing, maybe throw an exception or crash the problem, mm-hmm. and so on. So, and SafeInt is actually a complete library. There's not only, we should probably start writing how SafeInt works, because we talk too much and then people...
Come on, whiteboard, man. We're developers here. Okay, cool.
Okay, so what do you want to know?
How do you use SafeInt? Just write it up, I think.
For example, let's say that you have this, right? And so we say, result equals A times B plus C. Well, actually, this is a really complicated problem. Okay, it looks simple, but you have to write about a whole page of code to thoroughly check just this expression by itself. So what we could do with SafeInt is we could do something like, actually, if we're fixing existing code, we can do so very easily. We can go, and so implicitly, safeint's got a sticky property, so safeint A times B emits another safeint of type int, and so then the addition's also checked, and then say this were a different type, say this were an unsigned int, then it would be checked on assignment as well coming out. And as you see, we haven't really disrupted the code flow. We haven't put in a whole extra bunch of stuff, and it reduces the risk of regressions. Or we can also say, that, and now we've got three safeints, and we can use those throughout the code really pretty much exactly the same as you would a plain integer. Mm. And so that's I think, was one of the primary design criteria for this class, is that anywhere you have a whole bunch of code and say, D word, len, and then you go, way down here and do a whole bunch of different things, and then maybe pass len to some function. And maybe that function, takes a short or something. We can come all the way up here and make that a safeint. And with a few exceptions, it's just going to compile, and now everything that happens to len is going to be checked, including the cast on pass into the function.
The cast is important.
Which is actually one of the best things, because there's no other way to get that. With a library that checks things result by result, there's no way to check to see what the cast is, whether the cast going into the function is correct without knowing something about the function. Whereas this will just take it right in here. It's also really useful for 64-bit portability. Mm. So let's say that, and I really didn't design it for this, but then when we started porting Office for 64-bit, it turned out to be really, really handy. So let's say that you've got safeint size T len. And we've got some function foo takes D word len. Okay. And so then we pass this into the function here. Well, in 32 bits, the size T and the D word, it's the same thing. And so it just optimizes away because cast from unsigned 32 to unsigned 32 is a no-op, it's fine. Okay, but now we go and compile it again as 64-bit, and now this is a unsigned long-long, this is a 64-bit integer, and now we've actually got something to check, and this will do it. And so the same code will be safe in 64 bits and work fine in 32 as well.
Cool.
So that's a cool thing.
You touched a few good points, right? For example, how safeint is written in a way that there is the smallest overhead possible in all these operations, right? For example, like you were mentioning, the cast between the same type is basically just a no-op because everything is done through templates. So basically the compiler picks up that the type you're casting to is the same of your own safeint, or the size is the same and the sign is the same. There's some crazy there is a kind of crazy maps of templates inside the code. It's pretty interesting how the code is laid out.
Well, it's an interesting thing. It's actually something that I picked up from Hannes Reuscher, who's the dev manager of PowerPoint. He's one of the primary guys behind OACR, which is also known as Prefast. and
/analyze.
/analyze, yeah. And so he's a really super developer, and he helped me with all of this. And so the first release of SafeInt had all these, if size of T equals size of U, stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And it's all, compile time constants. And it made the code this big maze that was really hard to manage. And so instead, with the second and third versions, what we did was we moved to partial template specialization and caused the compiler to figure out exactly which tiny little piece of code to call in every instance. So, for example, if the compiler can figure out that we're casting the same thing to the same thing, then it evaluates to a function that's basically
return the internal.
Return M. T, yeah. Whatever it is. And so, and actually I think there's a cast to type U in case it's, cast from size T to, U long or something, and it's 32-bit, something like that. And so the partial template specialization is it's kind of tricky to play with. It's not extremely well documented, and there's a couple books on it about template metaprogramming, and but it's kind of an esoteric thing to play with. But it's really cool because it's the only way in C++ that you can overload on return type. And that was the most interesting property for me. And the other nice thing was that with very, very few exceptions, all of the cases inside of SafeInt where we're handling, all kinds of crazy things, like we're going to add a signed char to a unsigned int64, what do we do? How do we check that? It all evaluates to a very small piece of code that you can audit very easily. And so that's very, very important, because when you're going to compile something into your application, and if there's a problem in my header, what do? You recompile. Well, it's used 6,000 places in Office. If it broke in Office, we basically have to ship a service pack to fix it. So we have to make really, really sure that this is absolutely correct. And so being able to break the code down into very, very small chunks is a big help in the correctness.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
No, as you talk, I have more and more questions for you, I remember that when I was first looking at SafeInt, I always want to write these things because it's super cool, right? So, and I wanted to kind of write one. So, you write the first SafeInt, you do class, you do template, whatever. And this is the integer, and then maybe you put, the policy, right? The exception policy. We can talk more about that later. And, you do SafeInt, blah, blah, blah. Okay, the constructor is very easy to write. And already there is not super easy because you think, okay, sure, I just get a class T and I put it inside I have my internal member. There is basically just a T, right? Whatever. And I assign that. And then you say, okay, I do the operator minus minus, for example, right? And implementing the operator minus minus is easy technically, right? You just want to check, okay, if you have a SafeInt int, if you do minus minus, you just want to make sure that it doesn't go too low, basically, right?
Right.
You have basically in limits, for example, there is a type trait that tells you which one is the limit for each type T, and we are fine with that. Okay, but then you get to implement the operator, start the multiplication or the division, right? And when you start dividing or multiplying between, between two integers, okay. Then you start doing it between a 64-bit integer and a 64-bit unsigned int. So things get a little bit trickier, right? Because you don't have, sometimes you don't have any more space right here.
Right, you don't have any more space. So that one's hard.
The trickiest.
Right? There's a whole bunch of stuff that turned out to be tricky. Well, the whole thing is an exercise in how hard could it be. You know, that was my original thinking, was how hard could it be? And so we started off where basically it was all, everything was the same type, and this makes the same mistake as the NSafe library. NSafe library thinks everything, all the world is a D word, and that's all it can really check very well is D words.
Maybe we should do a parenthesis and explain it a bit. The two well, libraries
so,
that we have.
So, NSafe
versus SafeInt.
They're
very good at choosing names to confuse people.
Oh, yeah. Well, they came second. So they, so NSafe returns an H result. And so it might take, and so this would be, I don't know, NSafe mall or something. D word X, D word Y, D word pointer, ret. Okay, and so already we have three arguments, and the problem here, of course, is what happens when somebody passes an NSafe here. Well, it's going to get cast on entry, and if it's negative, something bad's going to happen. Or maybe ret is an int, and now all bets are off, and so now we're checking things sometimes. SafeInt, it's just
it carries the type information.
It's just easier. Yeah. SafeInt D word X times Y. And then the nice thing is we could pass this into a function like so, and everything's checked. Multiplication, the cast, if necessary.
Yeah, there is a lot of checks. You can. So when you construct here, there is immediately a check here, and basically you cast X, whatever types there is, into a D word, right? So there is the first check there. Let's say this doesn't fit. Bam. We already throw an exception, AV the program, do whatever. Then we do the multiplication, and what happened here before the multiplication, this Y is put inside the SafeInt as well. Kind of basically inside the multiplication operator, we put these inside the SafeInt as well, and then we do the multiplication. I don't remember very well. Anyway, we do the multiplication, we check the multiplication, and again, if there is an overflow, we throw or we do something. And then the last check is whatever foo was taking, rarely foo is going to take a SafeInt, it's going to take maybe a uint, for example. Mm-hmm. Right? And then there is another cast there, a safe cast, as we call it, that goes back and put from the SafeInt D word inside there. So there is three operations done by you, done for you by the C++ compiler and the libraries in general.
Well, it was actually funny how I got there, because originally I wrote things like this, SafeInt T operator, and this is actually a good example, plus equals t, okay? So that's all I had, was everything had to be the same.
It's the same type.
And so then somebody, actually an office dev over here, Mike Marcellet, really smart guy, he said, okay, so what happens if t is an unsigned char? And I want to write s plus equals minus 1, and say we initialize s to 2, for example. Okay, well, this should all be legal, because 2 is a perfectly fine value for an unsigned char, and we subtract 1 from it, and we should get 1. We shouldn't throw any exception. But what's the problem? Well, the problem is that's an int. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that int does not fit in a UCHAR. So if all we've got is an operator of the same type, and we try and put that into a UCARE, it's going to break. And so then I had to then add, and this one's actually very simple. And then, well, oh, maybe somebody could give me a safe ends as well. So, and so now, instead of two of them, I've got three of them.
Yeah.
And so when I realized that, it actually resulted in a huge amount of work. One of the really crazy things is that I started all this work about 5.5 years ago. And,
wow.
You know, and I was thinking maybe it was going to take me a few weeks. For the most part, except for a couple of compiler tweaks and that kind of thing, and getting it up to the dev div coding style and that kind of thing, we've quit development on core SafeNet. But there's all kinds of things that you can do on top of it. So, like, for example, consider the normal macro implementation of Max, like this, right? It, it says, A less than B, B, A, whatever, something like that. And so we've got a bunch of different problems. So what if A is an ant and B is a uant? Well, now we've got signed, unsigned mismatch, and we're going to be throwing, every time we use this, we're going to create warnings. And so we've got some casting problems going on where we could feed it, say, for example, -1 and 2. And we'll find out that -1 is bigger than 2. Well, that's very helpful, right? You know, that makes our code more robust to have unexpected results running around.
The compiler is going to work, but most of the time those warnings are not very well.
Mm.
And people shouldn't ignore these warnings because they tend to be pretty high noise. But my experience is I did an investigation, about 5% of them are actually real problems. And so that's a big enough percentage to where, you can fix some real bugs this way. Another thing is you get into multiple evaluation. You'll evaluate, if these are function calls, you'll evaluate them twice. So that's another problem. And then a third problem is that, what happens if I say, char C equals max A, B. Well, there's going to be no checking on assignment. And so that's essentially the three major problems with the classical implementation of Max. And so one of the things I've done, at least in internal to Office, is I made a safe Max that takes two types, and it basically leverages the SafeNet library underneath.
Yeah.
To make sure that we solve all three problems. One, it deals correctly with mixed types. Second, it only evaluates things once.
Yeah, great.
And this third, it always checks to make sure that whatever it's cast to is actually correct. And so I don't know when we're going to release that. We will one day. I'll probably put it on CodePlex or something.
Oh, cool. I don't know if we have it in the library. I don't remember very well.
We don't have it in the library yet.
We don't have it in the library yet. Okay.
Tell me if it's too late.
Okay.
It's up to you.
Exactly.
Put it in the library.
We'll put it in the library, okay. That's more standard than I.
Right on.
Well, and actually, I ended up doing some work in Office as kind of a proof of concept. I found about 200 instances of men and Max in our core DLL, which is MSO DLL, and I went through and used it. And so I found all the wacky corner cases and had to write some extra helper functions for some additional things, because sometimes you want to do some interesting stuff, like you might say, you know, foo, max, a, b, times 2. And you'd prefer this whole thing be safe. And so I had to do a couple different things to support that, because the original one was designed just to support stuff like C equals safe max A, B, and like that.
It doesn't return a safe thing, right?
Yeah, it doesn't return a safe, and it just assigns it to C.
Well, that's cool. So, I mean, going on these things, I'd like to talk a little bit more about, you know, when should we use safeint, right? So we made safeint as performant as possible, but of course, right. I mean, there are checks inside. So we are doing some ifs, or the multiplication, like this case of the multiplication, is quite tricky, right? There is some code there that goes on. So you shouldn't just go and blanket change all your integers and so on to be safeint, right? I mean, the classical case is the for loop, for example, right? If I'm just looping between 0 and 10, I don't really want to change this to a safeint, right? It doesn't, it's not really the right place, right? Because every time I do a plus plus, there is a check and so on, right?
Mm-hmm. But and it's never going to overflow anyway.
So it's never going to overflow anyway, yeah, correct. So, but yeah. If there is a kind of a max here, and this max comes from somewhere or is calculated some strange way, right? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we do some tricky math, like the some multiplication, then you subtract something, and, you know, there is some classical cases in your code. If you have a large code base, there is a possibility you do a bunch of these things, and, you know, when David was talking about real problems, sometimes these real problems are security problems, right?
Sure.
So you get the wrong position in your buffer, and we all know what's happened.
All I would say is that one could argue that, like the main culprit of security problems are that developers don't know when they should do this or that, and it's not necessarily easy to know when. I mean,
we had an interesting experience. So we've got these filters, mm-hmm. and they were written like 15 years ago by contractors, okay? and so they're parsing formats that were at the time proprietary and not written by us, so nobody knows what's in there, right? And so they were going to put these into our desktop search, which is linked into your email. So the attack would be, I send you an email, and if one of these filters can go sideways, then bam, that's it, right? And so they came to us, and they said, well, we're afraid of these things. And they said, well, you're right to be afraid. And so we did a whole bunch of things. But one of the things we did to harden the code was we showed them how to avoid integer overflows and how to use safeint. And they came back a few weeks later, and I asked them how it went, and they'd gone nuts. They'd done things like make constant safeint, okay, which is ridiculous. I mean, you're never going to change it. Why check it, right? And so, you know, so it gave the optimizer a good workout, because there's lots of things to throw away. But they came back and they said, wow, this is great, because when the integer goes wrong, then there's an exception right there. And basically, it's like we put a big neon sign around the mistake, whereas normally an integer overflow is going to cause some kind of wacky side effect, and you end up like five levels deep in the code, and you could spend all day trying to figure out how you got there. And you got there because you multiplied, I don't know, 2 times 255 and ended up with 0 or something wacky. And now, how did you get there? And so, with the it's kind of like when I first started using /gs, it wasn't just handy for protecting me from like attackers. Mm-hmm. It was I had a benign off by one in my own code for like a year. First time I compiled it with /gs and ran it, it was like, hey, Dodo, problem right here, you know?
Nice.
And so SafeNet's got the same property.
Wasn't so benign, probably.
And no, it wasn't. It wasn't attacker controlled. So, and it hadn't blown up before then.
Right.
it wasn't making any crashes.
Yeah.
But instead, you know, but that's the nice thing is, and a SafeNet crash is really, really easy to diagnose because in the crash, in the call stack from the crash dump, is all the values and the exact everything. You can look at basically the crash dump and figure out exactly what went wrong. And you know, it can lead to some interesting interesting things. Like here's one we found the other day, and this is actually a trick to look out for. It's a little bit of an issue. So let's say that we've got return value of D word, and then we're going to come down here and we're going to say return, and then we come along and we decide, oh, we want to check this stuff, so we make it a SafeNet. All right, and so then we're going to say return F, I don't know, happy. Then we're going to return rat, or we're going to return minus one. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it's okay, right? But what happens? Well, the compiler C wants to say that these are the same type. So what are they really? Well, they're a safe int of type D word. And this is an int. Okay. Well, okay, so if we had something that's completely wacky, like maybe one of these was a function, then the compiler doesn't know what to do, and it's going to throw a warning, it's going to complain, and you get to think about it, okay? But does the compiler know how to make an int into a safe int? Absolutely, okay. So now we're going to basically put on this side, safe int, D word, minus one. Well, that ain't going to work. This is basically this is the same thing as writing throw.
Can you explain please? Yeah. So it's a signed integer inside of there. What's the problem?
So the problem is that this is negative.
Understood.
And these
this is an unsigned.
So it's an unsigned and a signed,
and
they blow up.
Yeah. Well, you can't put a negative number into an unsigned number.
So in the constructor,
understood.
Yeah, in the constructor of SafeInt, what we have is that when you have the T is unsigned, and we pick up a constructor, and we check that this type that is coming in is signed, this new type, we check very quickly if it's signed or not. It's just static check, and then in that point we introduce an if. We just write if this value coming in is less than zero, then we throw. Very easy.
Okay.
Right, so that's, and everything is in line by the compiler.
And then the way you would fix this is instead of writing this, what we can do is we can coerce the, because we're going to return an int out of this function anyway. So what we do is we coerce the safe int back to an int.
Mm.
And because this check was going to happen on return anyway.
Yeah.
And so it's semantically the same. And so now the compiler looks at it, sees an int and an int, and then now it's happy.
Right.
And that's good.
Or instead of using the tree, this kind of operator, you just write a normal if.
Yeah, so a normal if will
work
do
fine.
It will work just fine and do what you want.
Well, we just had a similar a problem, I mean, caused by the ternary operator here. The forces the same time. It was actually a compiler issue inside the compiler that we are working on for Dev 10. And we fixed it for Beta 1, but it was quite tricky, right? So the ternary operator here is used some, in a few instances, but there is this interesting kind of functional language aspect that is is forcing the type to be the same because he has to create a return type.
It's actually, if I could, I'd like to be able to overload this, but the language doesn't provide for that. If I could write an overload for the ternary operator, then I could do something clever and fix it. But I can't.
We should ask those two. Request for C++ standard.
And actually, one of the things, you guys should think about this for slash analyze. So in Office, we made some OACR, prefast, slash analyze, whatever rules, that basically look for self-exploding safeents. So it looks for basically two classes of problems. So if you did, safeent, some type, int, and then you set A times B. Okay, well, this is clearly unsafe because nobody knows whether what we're constructing the safeent with is actually correct. So this is a mistake. Somebody should have written that.
Right.
And so OACR in Office right now will catch that. And another thing is that if you, I don't know, something dumb that people do all the time is they, pound define, some error minus one. Okay. So now this thing's a minus one. And so then they say, D word, DW error equals error because of some error condition. Well, now we've got an assignment of a int to an unsigned int, and so this is a problem. Now, if they'd been doing this correctly, then they would have put in a cast for D word here, and would be fine. So then somebody comes along later and makes this a safe int, maybe a few hundred lines of code up, and
it explodes.
And now it's an explosion.
But then again, it's pretty easy to debug, right?
It is. It's very easy
to
debug.
Since these are constants, of course the compiler could check, and the compiler slash analyze could check and say, okay, you're doing something that's going to explode anyway. So,
but our OACR check now says, oh, you're doing something to safeent, which has no hope of doing anything other than exploding.
Yeah.
So maybe you want to go look at this.
Yeah.
another funny one. This was funny. So we had some D word X, for example, and a whole bunch of code later, we says if int X less than zero, we're checking for int getting too big here. I mean, X getting too big, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it goes over two billion, it's going to when cast to an int, it becomes negative, and everything. We're checking for it. Well, then somebody came along and made this a safe int.
Nice.
And now what happens? Well, if it goes too big, and then we try and cast the safe int to an int, it's going to throw. So essentially, our error handling just became a throw exception.
Hmm.
We should talk about. No, that's true. And we should probably just do the last thing really quick. In this case, we actually add in the safe int library. That, by the way, is just in. You just have to include. I just want, since you want to try now because you are so excited about safeint, right? After watching this video, you just have to include safeint.h. Install Visual Studio Dev VS 2010 Beta 1. You pound include safeint, and we put safeint class in a namespace. And for now, it's called Microsoft Utilities. And then you start using safeint, just like all the example that David was writing about.
But pay attention and learn how to use it, is what we're talking about right
now. Yeah, and it's interesting. Yeah. So there is a few places, and apart from the safing class, there is also a few helper classes,
right,
the safe cast, that actually don't throw exception. They just return a boolean. Oh, is this cast good? Yes or no? They're going to try to do the cast and see and input the result. I don't remember the signature anymore.
Yeah,
you remember?
It will. It'll put
for example, this one, you can write it as a if.
You can do this one as say, for example, if safe cast x, y, where. And so if we can cast x to y, then we're good, and it's going to figure out the types from the argument, and then this is a const ref, and this is just a plain ref, and so that's where it's going to put the
and x can be a safe int as well,
result.
Of course.
Yes, and the x could be a safe int as well. Or the other thing is also you could do something like here's another way to fix it is if x greater than I think it's still named this, I don't know, they renamed a lot of things.
This one is also available in the normal C++ trait class.
And this is available, and this is also internal to SafeEnt, and so you can check it that way. And so this is actually, I think, or you could even just write the old familiar int max, and that's
perfect.
That's perfectly fine too, and so this is actually a better way to do it because you're not gonna trip up the guy that just got out of college and doesn't really know what's going on yet, maybe us old guys have been doing it for a while. We'll have a better chance of not making mistakes before we've had our coffee, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're not awake.
The cast is not very elegant. Definitely, is the best way. And you know, all these safe cast, safe mult, safe add can be used when you don't want to throw an exception. You just want to check, okay, am I safe in, you know, doing this addition? And it's going to be okay. So you can use that if you don't want to throw exception, you don't want to AV. And like we said, we had a couple of policies here. I think by default, we throw an exception, a safe int exception, that is defined inside the same namespace, or there is another policy that just AV and calls invalid parameter, basically crashes your program right away. Try to do the minimum things as possible because, you know, it could be a security issue and you don't want any code, extraneous code.
The other cool thing, and this is something I really like, is so originally I made it to where basically you would compile in the error handler, and I had one for raise exception.
Correct.
For a code where you want to use structured exception handling, and say C++ exceptions are not allowed. C++, you know, throw, not allowed, and. So then I also had throw safe int exception.
That is a C++ exception.
And that's a C++ type that's particular to this class. And I think that's still the default, right?
That's the default.
And so... then my friendly dev manager from PowerPoint comes along and he says, but we have an extremely well-developed exception class, so we want to use our own exceptions. We don't want to use your exception. We want to use some different exception. And so then in the third version, and this is in the one that's going to ship, is it's actually takes two parameters.
Right.
And... So you can define your own
exception policy,
exception class,
yeah.
Or
basically you only have two methods there: is what to do on overflow and what to do on divide by zero.
Exactly.
And you just write those two static methods, and you're done. And SafeInt is going to call them for you without fail.
Yeah, yeah. So it's nice because you can use whatever exception type you want. What's actually very ironic is what I think the PowerPoint team ended up doing is they asked for this feature, so I did a lot of work to put it there, right? And then they thought about it, and they said, well, if it's a safe in exception, we really don't know how to clean up from this, so we just want the app to crash. And so how can we do this? Because a lot of times we catch, they've got very, very nicely developed C++ exception handling. And I said, well, for you, if you just want to crash, then throw a structured exception, right, which you don't catch,
yeah,
and it will take you down.
Yeah.
And so what I think they ended up using what was there already. But it's a nice feature to be able to plug in exactly your own exception class to do what you want.
So I guess one question to ask, because this is what a lot of C++ developers are going to ask. I mean, whenever you are doing lots of checks on behalf of me or the developer, my assumption is going to be that's going to cost instructions, that's going to cost time, that's going to cost switching, that's going to cost me something. Nothing can be for free. So that's great, but I'm just being the, you know.
So what it is basically it is very, very closely equivalent to as if you'd put in exactly the code in line that you needed in the first place to check it.
So if you buy his book, there is the chapter about how do do an addition that is safe. And there is the classical if you do S A less than B, blah, 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 int max, and so on. Yeah, it's a bit tricky to type, right? Yeah. But we, for example, before having safe int, if you look in the implementation of malloc, we just do that, for example.
Right,
we
need
to check for the multiplication. You know, we need to multiply how many elements for the size of the struct. We just do that check. And so safeInt promise is that that code is going to be, the safeInt code is going to be the same as what you would write by hand.
And actually, we've done some things that we've got, they're gathering outside, but we've got a couple of minutes. We've done some things that really help it be more performant. So, for example, the way that I've written the exception handling functions encourage the compiler to put one copy of the function and call that function instead of having try-catch blocks set up all over the place, because that would really hurt your performance. The other thing, and this is wacky, the thing that I did to most improve the performance is I commented out the destructor. So I took away the constructor. It wasn't doing anything anyway. The only type is actually an int in the first place. And but as it turns out, if you have a destructor and you're returning classes by reference, then all sorts of optimizations go away. But if you just don't have a destructor at all, now the optimizer works a whole lot better. And actually, my test rig became 2/3 the size of what it was originally in terms of instruction count just by commenting out this one do-nothing destructor. So the lesson there is if you've got a do-nothing destructor, don't declare it. Your code will optimize better.
Yeah.
Very cool. Hey, thank you guys.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
So we got to get people to actually use this.
Yeah, we already have people using it.
Well, we have people in Microsoft.
We definitely encourage you to use it. And if you, for example, downloaded the previous version of SafeInt for Codeplex or before it was on Microsoft MSDN, go and try to use the new version. It's very, very similar. We have this exception policy on top.
Well, it's
excellent.
And, it's also at...
Codeplex?
Yeah. Codeplex.com.
SafeInt.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And so the version here is it's very, very close functionally to what's in Visual Studio.
Yeah.
And if you're doing cross-platform stuff, this one just compiles on GCC 4.3.2.
Very well.
Awesome.
We want everybody to be able to use it.
And let us know, I mean, what you think. I mean, you feel like, there is too much penalty or there is other things or you like more instruction on when to use it, when not to use it. And maybe we're going to just put out a white paper with some.
Well, I mean, that brings up this question. I mean, of course, the compiler, which you guys, your team creates, is exceptionally intelligent as far as compilers go. I mean, you can only get so intelligent.
Yeah.
But certainly I could compile and you can say, hey,
yeah.
This pattern will probably lead to a buffer, to an integer overflow under these circumstances. Kind of like what you do with WACGS for strings, right? And
that's
structs
that's true.
GS++.
Yes, with GS++. And that's, we should definitely also check with the analyze people and check them with them.
Because you guys are doing that on
purpose.
Push, you know, more.
Yeah, we're getting better and better at flash analyze.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's starting to get to be pretty good at checking these things. Though I'll tell you what, it's my advice that if you're looking for integer overflows, go after it with your brain. That's the best tool you got.
Amen. Right on. Great to meet you.
Yeah. Okay.
And
see you
also
soon.
Was a good collaboration between C++ and Office, so I'm very happy about that too. So
take care, you guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.